Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help because we must defeat this president to change the trajectory of this country.
People, we are live on the interwebs. I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is May 9th, 2024. Happy 75th birthday to my dad. Love you, Dad. Check your email. There might be something in there waiting for you. We're live streaming on Rumble, YouTube, and Locals. If you want to join us for the postgame show, rubinreport.locals.com. And we swapped in that cold open at the last second because we basically rewrote the entire show today because I have had it. With this zombie child hair sniffing weirdo in the White House. And today's show is just an absolute historical destruction of the man pretending to be president. And that is all he is. He is being drugged. He is not in charge. He often goes off script and says that if he is to answer a question that is off script, that he will get in trouble, that those people will get him in trouble. He has completely thrown Israel under the bus. He has tanked the economy here in the United States. He has destroyed our border. He has ushered in DEI. All of the decent liberals thought, oh, he won't be the wacky one, right? It's not like voting in Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, the true nut jobs. But here we are. Here we are. And today we will show you clip after clip after clip of a destruction. It's not fun to destroy an 81-year-old man with dementia. Like, it's easy, you know what I mean? But we're gonna do it. We have to do it. I see no way around it. Before we do, let me talk to you guys about Grand Canyon University. Guys, Grand Canyon University is a private Christian university based in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, and they believe that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you can impact your family, your friends, and your community. Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals. With over 330 academic programs as of December 23, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find purpose at GCU, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/Dave. So yes, we are going to destroy Joe Biden today. He is an embarrassment. He is the worst president in the history of the United States. And I can say that unequivocally because I don't even think he's the president. I understand it says president on his desk, but nobody thinks he's in charge. There is an absolute conspiracy and scandal of a small group of people, which I assume includes his wife, that are drugging him, whether it is some sort of cocktail or pills or both or whatever they're doing with him. It is bizarre. They should 25th Amendment this guy. Am I being clear about my feelings today? We're being clear about our feelings. And then he did an interview on CNN last night that was just an abject disaster. We got about four clips from that. But I want to start with something else. I want to start with an interview that RFK Jr. did with my friend Sage Steele on her podcast, talking about how profoundly evil it is what Joe Biden's Justice Department has done over these three plus years of his administration.
Troubling part of it is that it's really the first time since Nixon that a president has politicize the U.S. enforcement agencies. And we're seeing this not just with the Secret Service, but the CIA, the FBI, CISA, NIH, you know, which were all, you know, I won a lawsuit against President Biden called Kennedy versus Biden. I went to the U.S. Federal Court of Appeals that enjoined him from censoring me. And, you know, 37 hours after he took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution, there were individuals in his White House were contacting Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, and asking them to take down my accounts and threatening them that if they didn't do that, there's going to be antitrust issues and that they would lose their Section 230 immunity. So that's, you know, that has not been done before. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very dangerous precedent. And everybody, you know, people might say, well, Joe Biden, he will never, you know, he's a nice guy. He won't abuse those powers. But, you know, once government takes a power, it's going to abuse it and it will never relinquish it.
Okay, so the reason I wanted to start with that clip was because it's very easy to do the Joe Biden has pudding for brain stuff, and we're going to get to some of that. And it's very easy to show you all of the times he's lied or obfuscated the truth or the rest of it. But the reason I want to start with that is because that is tangible. He is truly doing things with this government that are unprecedented. He used the CDC and the NIH to force perhaps you, person watching this right now, or certainly someone you know, to be injected with a vaccine that was not a vaccine that we now know has all sorts of vaccine injury potential afterwards, right? Thousands and thousands, if not millions of people, well, certainly millions of people worldwide are now dealing with that. He did that. He also forced the government, we know, to collude with big tech to infringe on your First Amendment rights. RFK is talking right there how they did it literally to him. And guess what? They did it literally to me, right? You've seen that interview I did with Jim Jordan where he shows me the docs. My tweets were taken down at behest of the government. This is known. You get no apology, you get no nothing, but this is known. What else are they doing? Well, the Department of Justice is going after his number one political rival, Donald Trump. That seems a little problematic, kind of banana republic level stuff. And on top of it, RFK didn't even mention there, but as I think most of you know, the Biden administration has also denied RFK security detail. You think maybe a guy named Kennedy with a dead uncle, an assassinated uncle and an assassinated father, you think maybe he could use a little security detail? So he's paying for it out of his own pocket. So there are tangible things. And then, of course, the border and the economy, we'll get to all of that stuff. So that's where I wanted to start with this thing. But now let's dive in. We got a couple clips from this interview that Joe Biden did. It's a highly produced interview. Understand when you're watching this, Aaron Burnett, who is the quote unquote journalist, there is no doubt Biden knew the questions in advance. There's no doubt they edit, they stop, all of these things. This is complete theater. And despite the fact that it is mainstream drivel theater, Joe Biden did not do particularly well. Let's just put it that way. Here's a fairly brutal takedown of everything that Joe Biden has done over the last couple of years.
So when you talk about the economy, of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. You guys do a poll at CNN. How many folks you have to call to get one response? The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad, we've created more jobs. We're in a situation where people have access to good paying jobs. And the last I saw, the combination of the inflation, the cost of inflation, all those things, that's really worrisome to people with good reason. That's why I'm working very hard to bring the cost of rentals down, to increase the number of homes that are available. But let me say it this way. When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse of the economy. We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
No, we don't. And nobody believes you. He sounds like a zombie. By the way, call me a crazy conspiracy theorist. Joe Biden used to have blue eyes. His eyes are not blue anymore. I think that has something to do with the cocktail of drugs. I don't know specifically. I'm just putting it out there. Google Joe Biden pictures, 1980s, 1990s. Even when he was vice president, he had white, he had blue eyes, like a light blue eyes. Now he has black eyes. He also sounds like he's about to croak, right? He sounds like a zombie. And I do want to give Evan Burnett, and CNN is awful, she's awful, okay, fine. But I do want to give her credit there, because she did bring up a couple points that all are true, and nothing he said has any bearing on reality. And you can see he's losing the sentence as he's saying everything. Buying home now costs double. We know that the price of everything is going up. Talk to your local contractor or go to Home Depot and see how much a 2x4 costs now under Biden versus 4 years ago. They printed money, right? Bidenomics, they printed money to put into the economy. And when you print money, there's something called supply and demand. All you have to do is take a basic economics 101 course. Wouldn't recommend taking it in Columbia. You might become a jihadist. But if you do that, if you just start printing more of something, the value of that thing starts going down. Real income, she talks about, and inflation. Growth is down. We all feel these things. And really the important one, I think, because it's somewhat ephemeral, is just consumer confidence. If you're the average person right now, do you feel like things are really going well? Like in terms of your, not only your buying power and whether you can get a house and buy and all the rates, interest rates that are exploding, they're back up to about 8%, right? I mean, every time we talk about the economy, I say the same thing. The one thing that you really should look at when it comes to a healthy economy is low interest rates, because when interest rates are low and you can borrow money at 2.5%, basically, you're borrowing a little money. You're saying, thank you to the bank. Thank you for lending me this. Now I can buy a home. I can start investing in something that will create more value, eventually sell it, keep moving my way up. Someone else will get in at that lesser value home. That is what is all good. Everything he said there is complete drivel. So I do want to give credit where credit is due. Erin Burnett, hot diggity dog, you did all right. Here's more of Biden getting smacked.
The strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
Although GDP last week was far short of expectations.
Oh, it wasn't. Look, GDP is still growing. Look at the response of the markets. Overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. And one of the reasons why people feel good about it not being as strong as it was before is they believe that the Fed's going to respond.
They hope they're going to get a rate cut.
Yeah. Well, so, but I mean, no president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. But look, people have a right to be concerned. Ordinary people, the idea that you bounce a check and you get a $30 fee for bouncing the check might change that. You can't charge more than $8 for that. Or your credit card, you know, your late payment, $35. I mean, there's corporate greed going on out there, and it's got to be dealt with.
Oh, it's corporate greed. Okay, First off, there's a couple things here. Thank you, Joe Biden. The banks used to charge people $30 for bouncing a check. And the reason you bounce a check is because you don't have enough money in your account, which has something to do with you tanking the economy. The fee has now gone to $8 instead of $30. Thank God for Joe Biden. My God, if it wasn't for Joe Biden. Of course, he blames corporate greed. Yes, suddenly it's just the corporations, those giant food corporations that just want to charge more people for eggs and milk. And they seem to only want to do it under Democrats and you. They didn't want to do it under Trump when prices of everything were going down. They suddenly were like, my God, Biden's in charge. Let's be greedy. Let's be greedy. Arr. Here's Biden with more on corporate greed. This is just and his thing about inflation, lie. We'll get to some evidence on that in just a second, but here he is, more on corporate greed.
What about, but there's real pain. I mean, grocery prices are up 30%, more than 30% since the beginning of the pandemic, and people are spending more on food and groceries than they have at any time, really, in the past 30 years. I mean, that's a real day-to-day pain that people feel.
It really is, and it's real. But the fact is that if you take a look at what the men people have, they have the money to spend. It angers them and angers me that you have to spend more. For example, the whole idea of this notion that Senator Casey talked about, shrinkflation. I think, you know, it's on your
program. Same price for a smaller bottle of juice or something.
For example, Snickers bar, they did a thing, and it's like 20% less for the same price. That's corporate greed. That's corporate greed. And we've got to deal with it, and that's what I'm working on.
Corporate greed. It's corporate greed. That's called capitalism, dude. Companies make things. Snickers makes candy bars. And sometimes they cost a little bit more and they have to figure out how much they're paying their employees. You know, also when you guys artificially inflate the minimum wage, then they have to look at the numbers and they have to go, oh, we have to pay our people $18 an hour, even though they don't create $18 an hour worth of value. I guess we're going to have to charge more for the Snickers bar, or we'll have to make that Snickers bar smaller. That is freedom. That is capitalism. Nobody loves that, right? Or you don't love it when you're paying, right? If you used to get 64 ounces of orange juice for $4 and now they've slowly load it to 58 ounces and you're paying the same amount, you're not thrilled, but that's because of you, you fuckface. Here's some info from Redfin as far as it pertains to housing prices. Housing median price jumped from $284K to $420K from 2019 to 2024. This is because as Joe Biden printed money, all of the things that you put in a house, like a sink and like pipes and like wood beams and paint, all of those things started going up and up and up. We're always doing a ton of work at my house. I talk to my contractors and my electricians and my plumbers, all of the guys that are constantly in and out of this place. Everything costs more. A gallon of paint costs more. It's not because corporations suddenly got greedy. It's because you people ruined the economy and now you've kept it alive in some sort of Frankenstein state by endlessly printing money so people think that there's a little more money around, but actually that's destroying the value of money. Oh, and we do have some info here from Macro Trends on Joe Biden's absolute 100% lie about inflation that Aaron Burnett should have called out. The U.S. inflation rate for 2022 was 8%, a 3.3% increase from 2021. U.S. inflation rate for 2021 was 4.7, a 3.46 increase from 2020. U.S. inflation rate for 2020 was 1.23%, a 0.58% decline from 2019. U.S. inflation rate for 2019 was 1.81%, a 0.63 decline from 2018. So just very quickly, if you're looking at that graph there and you don't like numbers, you see the explosion of inflation getting higher in 2020. Who became president in 2020, it was an old guy who's got black eyes now. He used to have blue eyes. Do we have a picture? Yeah, those are Joe Biden. He used to have blue eyes. He has black eyes now. I assume that's because his soul is black. Anyway, let's just go into some of the awfulness that Joe Biden has provided over these last couple of years. One of the things that he did was destroy all sorts of faith that our allies had in us and that we and all the cred that we had accumulated over the years as it pertains to foreign policy when we withdrew from Afghanistan. Now, I was for, and most people wanted to wrap up the war in Afghanistan because it was the longest war in U.S. history. But of course, we not only abandoned our allies there and we abandoned Afghanis who were translators and left people and left machines and helicopters and you know all the stuff and the people jumping off the planes and everything else. Here's one of Biden's embarrassing moments as it pertains to that.
Mr. President, there had not been a U.S. service member killed in combat in Afghanistan since February of 2020. You set a deadline, you pulled troops out, you sent troops back in, and now 12 Marines are dead. You said the buck stops with you. Do you bear any responsibility for the way that things have unfolded in the last 2 weeks?
I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that's happened of late. But here's the deal. You know, I wish you'd one day say these things, you know as well as I do that the former president made a deal with the Taliban that he would get all American forces out of Afghanistan by May 1. In return, the commitment was made, and that was a year before. In return, he was given a commitment that the Taliban would continue to attack others, but would not attack any American forces. Remember that? I'm being serious. I'm asking you a question. Wait a minute. I'm asking you a question. Is that accurate? The best.
About, but Mr. President, respectfully, do you think that people have an issue with pulling out of Afghanistan or just the way that things have happened?
I think they have an issue that people are likely to get hurt. Some, as we've seen, have gotten killed, and that it is messy.
It's just so embarrassing and pathetic. And I like going back to those flashback clips, as you guys know, because we forget all these things, right? Because the media moves so fast and the news cycle is so fast. But even the absurdity, how Peter Doocy has to wear a freaking mask there, and the old guy who's about to drop dead, who they're drugging to just make sure he can stand there, didn't have to wear a mask. All of it's insane. Also, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. That is he implying that Trump made a deal that the Taliban could stay and kill other people, just not blow up American things? Well, either way, we ended up leaving Afghanistan in a disastrous withdrawal. The rest of the world saw that, and now the Taliban and other terrorist groups have our tanks and have our helicopters and planes and much more. Everyone knows this would not have happened under Trump, right? How do you know that? Because it didn't happen under Trump, right? Putin did not invade Ukraine under Trump. He did invade Ukraine under Barack Obama, who's actually running this administration right now. Here is Trump blaming Biden on what's going on in Ukraine and now in Israel.
Putin, they called it Putin price hikes. It wasn't only Putin. It was Putin and plenty of other things that Biden got wrong. Because, frankly, with Putin, Ukraine would have never happened. Israel attack both October 7th and today would have never happened. Then he blamed price gouging and junk fees. But all of America knows that the real blame for this nightmare lies with one person, crooked Joe Biden.
Yeah. It's just true. And how do we know that again? Because we largely had peace in the Middle East during Donald Trump, right? Everyone said, oh my God, we're gonna get out of the Iran deal. It's gonna cause World War III. It didn't. Everyone said, oh my God, we're gonna move the US embassy to Jerusalem. It's gonna cause World War III. And it didn't. Then Trump gets out. We are then seen as weak, right? You don't want to blow everybody up because you have the power to do it. You want to be strong so that people look at you as strong so that you don't have to use that power. That's the beauty of actually having power and having some discipline attached to it. But it's not just the economy that this guy has tanked, and it's not just foreign policy and what's going on all over the world that this guy has, just the destruction that he has wrought. It's actually here in America, and Hawaii is part of America, and you may remember the Lahaina fire, and we played this clip once. This is Tulsi Gabbard on Joe Rogan talking about how absolutely horrible the Biden administration was in terms of taking care of their own people because they were mostly focused on Ukraine.
How long has it been now?
August will be 1 year, August 8th.
The most insulting thing was the $700 one-time payment from the government. That is, who said yes to that? Who allowed that? At the same time, releasing this number where they accidentally had sent Ukraine $6 billion. Remember that?
Yeah. They said, we lost track of this $6 billion. And so now that we've found it because of some accounting error, now we can go and send it to Ukraine.
And they were automatically assuming they were going to send that anyway.
Of course.
We're going to be sending more.
Of course.
No consideration at all.
No, I remember specifically when the fires had just happened, the White House brought in the director of FEMA to talk to the White House press corps. And someone asked the question, what are you, FEMA, what are you actually doing for the people who've been impacted by this tragedy? And the director stood there with a straight face and proudly said, well, we have provided a one-time payment of $700 to everyone who has been impacted by this fire, displaced by this fire. And that was her big announcement that she was there to make. One single one-time payment of $700.
So that means you have 700 servings of ramen.
Basically, I mean, you can't even rent a bedroom in someone's house for $700.
Okay, so we have completely abandoned those people in Hawaii, sort of like we completely abandoned the people in East Palestine after that horrific disaster there, right? And remember, Trump showed up there and got applauded. Remember when Gay Pete showed up and they were not too happy about that. But let's jump back to the foreign policy thing, because these things are connected. When we ignore the people of the United States, you know, the thing is, with the American people are willing to help people all over the world. We have such an incredible track record of doing that. If we don't do good around the world, nobody does good. That's how it works. But we don't want to be ignored and neglected at home. So when you see our own border being overrun, or you see the disaster in East Palestine, or you see what happened in Hawaii, and then we don't do anything to help those people, but we do, quote unquote, help people across the world, then people are not happy. Let's jump back to Trump, because here he is once again talking about how the Israel situation would not have happened if he was president. And again, he's just right.
Iran is on the verge of attacking Israel, according to both U.S. and Israeli intelligence reports.
Yeah.
Have you spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah.
How should the United States respond? And the same question for you, Mr. Speaker.
I don't want to say who I spoke to. But for the president of our country to actually put out a warning that he thinks that we're going to be attacked or they're going to be attacked, that's pretty pathetic. They wouldn't be attacking Israel if I were president, that I can tell you. And they never did. They wouldn't be attacking. Iran was in no position to attack. They had no money. They were broke. But now they have $221 billion, and they have Iraq, who has $300 billion. And Iraq has become a subsidiary of Iran. With all that we've done, with all of the fighting, all of the death, look at what happened, how incompetent the whole thing is. But I don't want to say who I spoke to, but I think it's a very, very dangerous period. This is a very dangerous period of time in our nation. And a big reason that it's dangerous that we have a president that's grossly incompetent. Thank you all very much.
Yes, true, right. That's Trump at his best, saying it how it is and how starkly different things were under his administration. Remember, 7 peace deals signed, Abraham Accords signed in the Middle East. They said that was going to lead to World War III, and it led to peace. Then we bring in this incompetent dementia-having zombie, and here we are at. So now what instigated this whole show, though, today is this clip from the interview on CNN last night. Joe Biden has basically reversed, in essence, 75 years of policy as it pertains to the Middle East, now saying just as Israel is at the end of the war, right? They have cleaned up Gaza. They have taken out Hamas. Hamas has a couple battalions left, right? Which means a couple thousand soldiers left in Rafah. Israel is moving civilians out of Rafah. No other army would be asked to do anything like this and drop leaflets and feed the people trying to kill them and everything else. But Joe Biden right now, because he has dementia and he's not in charge, and because he's being run by Obama and a bunch of jihadists and leftist lunatics, and he's afraid of his own radical base, that he has a lot to do in terms of how they got stoked up in the first place, he is now announcing that he is suspending selling weapons to Israel, which, by the way, when we sell weapons to Israel, all we do is give Israel money that they have to spend in the United States. We don't just hand them cash. They have to buy the weapons from our military-industrial complex. That's a whole big problem, and Israel should get off the teat for their own safety. But take a look at this.
I want to ask you about something happening as we sit here and speak, and that, of course, is Israel is striking Rafah. I know that you have paused, Mr. President, shipments of 2,000-pound U.S. bombs to Israel due to concern that they could be used in any offensive on Rafah. Have those bombs, those powerful 2,000-pound bombs, been used to kill civilians in Gaza?
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. And I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem. We're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks like came out of the Middle East recently. But it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and the artillery shells used that have been used.
Artillery shells as well.
Yeah, artillery shells.
So, just to understand what they're doing right now in Rafah, is that not going into Rafah as you defined?
No, they haven't gone into the population centers. What they did is right on the border, and it's causing problems with right now in terms of with Egypt, which I've worked very hard to make sure we have a relationship and help. But I've made it clear to Bibi in the War Cabinet, they're not going to get our support if, in fact, they go in these population centers.
Okay, he's such a mind-melted moron. He really doesn't know what he's saying. He starts forgetting that he's talking about October 7th in the middle of that, right? This is the same guy that thought that Mexico was Egypt a few weeks ago. So what he's doing is, in essence, they're gonna pause on smart bombs. That will leave Israel with less precise bombs, potentially causing more death. This is just consistent with the complete lunacy out of this administration. The war is almost over. By the way, there are 5 Americans that are still trapped in Gaza. He does not give a flying fuck about them. And every single American, when you travel abroad, should think about that. Your administration does not care about you. You could be kidnapped, and they simply will not care. Now, I suppose if you're a black lesbian WNBA player and you get kidnapped in Russia, they will care about you over time. But if you're white and you're a Jew, that man does not give a shit about you. This will not stop the war. They have to win this war. They have hostages and they have people shooting rockets at them right now. They have to win this war. They will figure out other ways to get weapons. This is just, and putting all of that aside, if you want to end the war, if you want to help the Gazans, you would be putting pressure on Hamas. Hamas is watching that video the same way they watch the Queers for Palestine going, boy, I can't believe this guy with dementia. He's putting pressure on Israel. We're in good shape. The same way the Queers for Palestine, they look at the Queers for Palestine and go, look at these morons thimping for us when we're about to behead them. Donald Trump put out a great ad. This is a great ad about everything that's going on our campuses right now as it relates to what Joe Biden has done by not taking care of the most extreme wing of his party.
I've heard gas the Jews.
I don't resent his passion. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. I understand their passion.
And more of that will continue. It will continue in Democrat-run cities. And if Joe Biden is reelected, like, we are hanging on by a thread as a country, we truly are. There will be nobody left to stop any of this stuff. But what's Joe Biden also focused on? He really wants to chop your kids' genitals off. You remember this one.
It's wrong that the violence and hate crimes targeting LGBTQ people is rising. It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel and it's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. They're the kids, and our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft. It matters a great deal.
No, Joe, they are not your kids. Your kid is a crack addict who a couple months ago brought a bag of cocaine to the White House. That is your kid. Your kid is the one who is a quote-unquote artist who gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for painting because that's the easiest way to money launder, right? Selling art because art is subjective. It's the easiest way to get access to you. Your son is the one, your child is the one who got a job at a Ukrainian energy company for about 800 grand a year who had no expertise in Ukrainian energy. You are not the father of my kids. But if Joe Biden is not destroying the economy, and if Joe Biden is not causing chaos overseas, and if Joe Biden is not encouraging you to chop the genitals off children, the other thing he's doing is destroying the country because he's eliminating the borders. Here is some info, migrant encounters from Statista. 2020, we had less than 500,000 migrant encounters at the border. 2021, this is Biden's real first year, 1.75 million. 2022, 2.4 million. 2023, 2.5 million. And 2024 obviously will be worse than that. It is also worth noting that these people, the only reason they're even remotely addressing it, they're not doing anything about it, but they're now acknowledging there is a problem, is because alt media started showing videos of it, right? RFK went down to the border and suddenly was like, you know, this is a problem there. I've been here for a half hour and there are people from 30 different countries walking through. These are Chinese people and these are people from Jordan and Yemen and we thought it was just Mexicans who were gonna build our houses. But we dragged them, all of us, you included it, those of you that watch these shows and all of that, we dragged them into making it so that the mainstream media could not ignore this anymore. But here's just a nice compilation of Biden administration officials contradicting themselves as it pertains to the border crisis. We've got eyebrow guys. Eyebrow guy, we're starting with him. Yeah.
The message is quite clear. Do not come. The border is closed. The border is secure.
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
You get what they did there? It's secure. It's secure. Kamala's great. It's secure in that it's the job of us to secure it. So it must be secure. One of her circular logic nonsense. And then now Biden, that's Biden, of course, about a month ago, saying that the reason it's not secure is because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not president. You are pretending to be president. This is all on you. And of course, what happens when they come over the border illegally? Well, they cause crime and they bring drugs. And now we have a massive drug problem in the United States. Here's some info from the CDC. In 2022, 107,000 drug overdose deaths occurred, resulting in an age-adjusted rate of 32.6 deaths per 100,000. That's in standard population. Overall, the age-adjusted rate of drug overdose deaths nearly quadrupled from 8.2 in 2002 to 32.6 in 2022. However, the rate did not significantly change between 21 and 2022. Between 21 and 2022, the age-adjusted rate of drug overdose deaths for males rose 1.1% from 45.1 to 45.6, while the rate of females decreased 1%. From 19.6 to 19.4, although that decrease is not significant. But again, I would say this is one of those that you don't really need the numbers. Almost everyone in America now knows somebody that has seen, somebody that has died of fentanyl or of opioids or whatever else. I do, and I have no doubt that you watching this, that you do, or you know a story, or someone's brother or cousin, somebody, and it's often not, you know, we think of it, oh, these are just transient drug addicts, like lifelong drug addicted people, or it's just the zombies of San Francisco. And no, they are lacing now even marijuana with these things that you take one puff and you are dead. And that is directly connected to the border that this man has kept open. But here's a here's one of this might be the worst political speech in American history. This is Joe, you know which one this is already. Joe Biden pulling full Palpatine Hitler vibes and talking about what the real threat to the country is. This is from a couple months ago.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Hello, person watching this. Do you think that the big threat right now, in light of everything we've talked about, is Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans? Is it Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans that are burning down college universities, rampaging through streets? Is it Donald Trump that has caused the chaos in the Middle East? Is it Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans who have opened the border? I thought they wanted a closed border and that was racist. Remember that? Everything this mind-muddled buffoon says is a lie. Here he is. Remember this one? This is an oldie but a goodie. Forcing people to be injected with some shit that likely killed a whole bunch of people.
With COVID cases surging and deaths now five times higher than just a month ago, President Biden is requiring tens of millions more Americans to get vaccinated.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
Evil, absolute evil. There's no other way to describe it. I don't think I need to analyze it beyond that. That should have been the thing that took him down immediately. The idea that the government can force you to stick something in your arm when they rushed it through in the first place and they had no idea what it was going to do. But okay, now let's do some of the low-hanging fruit. Also, his mind is completely turned to mush. The man does not know what he's doing. He often goes off script, then apologizes for going off script and says he's going to be in trouble. Here he is yesterday reading, well, enjoy this. Here's a little teleprompter fun with Joe Biden.
My theology professor at the Catholic school I went to was a guy named Riley, last name, and he had been drafted by the Green Bay Packers, and he decided to become a priest.
Oh, his professor was Riley last name. Hello, professor last name. Is that Riley? Was that Riley last name? How you doing? Guys, look, you can misread off the teleprompter. I have a teleprompter in front of me right now. It shows me what the next clips are. Every now and again, I might read something wrong, or sometimes the teleprompter moves a little too fast, and Phoenix, you'll pay for that. Sometimes it might move a little too slow. Sometimes it blips. You never know what's going to happen. But he doesn't even know Riley last name, and then he just keeps talking as if nothing just happened. The man is not well. Here he is working hard, though.
Look, the president is really busy. Obviously, he probably catches up during the day, like many of us here. But look, the president's going to focus on the American people. That's his focus.
You've got to believe they were setting him up that day. Put him on the beach. Put him on the beach. Everyone loves seeing old white legs. Like, no, nobody wants to see that. There's an awful lot of videos, dozens and dozens of videos of Joe Biden sniffing young girls' hair and saying inappropriate things to young girls. Also, his granddaughter in her diary said that she thought he might have molested her or something. Here's just a throwback one. This is from before he was president, just doing something weird with a young girl.
We met before. It's great. Hard to forget those eyes. Look at those eyes. Yeah. Look at them.
She just was the queen of the...
That is not surprising.
Isn't it
that
true?
That is not surprising. What are you doing now, kiddo? You're still in school?
No, I just got out of school. I'm about to start working for Banker's Company. And
well,
then...
great. Good for you.
3 years, she got her degree.
That's what confused me, because when I met you before,
yeah,
and I thought you still had more time in school.
Something about the cough made it all worse, right? Like, you could see she pulls away when he tries to touch her face, then he puts her arm, and all right, calm down, dude. Numbers are tanking because people are waking up to all of this, so that's nice.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
All right. So more and more people are waking up, and that's a good thing. And I got one more on this elderly man, and then I will just put my pin in it. And then we're going to get to a Rubin Report community Q&A. But you may remember when Joe Biden said that you ain't black if you don't vote for Joe Biden. Well, here are two guys that apparently aren't black.
Not a fan of Joe Biden or what?
Nah, I like Donald Trump. I seen Joe Biden online. He was shitting on himself and like falling all over. I'm like, yo, what's going on with him? He got teleprompters everywhere. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got a good political opinion, but you know what I'm saying? I want the world to be a better place. I feel like we probably could do better with Trump helping more businesses and like coming back and taking over the 2024.
So you think Biden pooped his pants on that other video?
That's what the video showed. He was looking real shit. Like, I know we all make mistakes. I mean, you shit yourself before, right?
Actually, I have, but go ahead.
God damn. This CTESPN right here, that's a message for you right there. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, as the country, we need to do a better job of, you know what I'm saying, with the everything that's been going, the pandemic, the shots, the everything that's been going.
Have you met Trump? You want to meet Trump?
I met him on the phone before. I talked to him on the phone with Tom Brady one time. Yeah, he seemed like a cool guy.
You think Brady likes Trump, but he just can't admit it?
Yeah, he probably definitely like him. Can't I can, though. Shout out to Donald Trump.
Just to be clear, that's noted white conservative talk show host Jason Whitlock and noted white former NFL player Antonio Brown. And apparently they ain't black because they ain't voting for Joe Biden. Let me just say one other thing on this, and then we'll get to the questions. There is a much bigger problem here that for all of the reasons, and believe me, we could show you, we could have done a 17-hour show today with falling and stumbling and bumbling and all of the lies and the anger and the confusion. We could have done all of that, and I suppose we will continue to trickle that out over time. The man, interestingly, he always falls upstairs instead of downstairs, which is also a fun one. We could have done that. We could have done that. But there is a much bigger problem here. The bigger problem is that nobody believes he's actually president, including Americans and people abroad. He is being drugged with something. Everyone knows it, right? Everyone knows it, which is why sometimes he's cogent, sometimes he isn't. They never put him out around 5 or 6. There's something called sundowning when people start getting dementia or other cognitive issues when you're later in life. When the sun goes down, you literally start getting more confused and more tired. They're usually better earlier in the day. That's why they're always putting a lid on it. So someone at that White House, Dr. Jill Biden, and the rest of them, there's probably 4 or 5 people. There's a doctor, probably the chief of staff. They know what he is being drugged with. That, to me, is it's not an impeachable offense. It's a 25th Amendment for Biden, but these people should be tried for treason. That's where we're at right now. And that's one of the reasons that all of this feels so insane, because we're showing clips of a clearly incompetent, drugged man with mental decline, and we're pretending that any of this is real. I ain't gonna pretend anymore. That's it. All right, let's talk about TWC Health, and then we will get to a RubinReport.locals.com community Q&A. Was I clear about my feelings today? Guys, first it was Disease X in January, where the globalists hosted a panel featuring big pharma leadership in Davos. And the foreshadowing is real. Now the CDC and mainstream media are stoking fears around H5N1 bird flu, claiming that not only have tens of millions of livestock been infected, but also that the virus is making the leap to humans through milk, through steak, through salad dressings, you name it. Not through steak. Gain of function research on avian flu at the same time, news headlines are being littered with outbreak scares. If we've learned anything through this awakening, it's that there's no such thing as coincidence. The Atlantic reported on April 30th that the US is somehow over and underreacting to bird flu and the like. And whatever that means, being prepared is always the way to go. Whether it's lockdowns or another forced jab, it's pretty clear that the groundwork for COVID 2.0 appears to be in the works. Will it materialize in time for a November surprise? Luckily, the chief medical board at the wellness company has been closely watching the avian flu outbreak over the last few weeks, and they've got our back. The only of its kind, the prescription and contagion emergency kit, provides you with a carefully selected assortment of effective medications for bird flu, COVID-19, and other respiratory illnesses. Ivermectin, HCQ, Z-Pak, Tamiflu, Budesonide, along with a nebulizer, so you can rest easy knowing that you have emergency meds on hand, along with a guidebook for safe use. Every American should have at least one of these kits in their home. Await long wait times and the price of a hospital, and have exactly what you need for as low as the cost of a single doctor's visit. Go to twc.health/Rubin to grab your contingency emergency kit right now for peace of mind in the chaos of this world. That's twc.health/Rubin. Code Rubin saves you 15% and free shipping at checkout. And now back to me. All right, let's get to a community Q&A. Hey says, hey Dave, while I find it extremely encouraging to see the positive pushback on campus of the lunatics supporting Hamas, what do you think must happen to make this standing up for America and its values far more widespread in society? Have a great weekend. Well, look, I want to be clear about this, because for all the videos that we show, and all, as frustrating it might be, and for how it always feels like we're on the precipice of something worse, and for all the alarmism that I just gave you about the man that's supposedly in charge right now, good people are waking up. They are waking up across the spectrum, right? Tulsi Gabbard and RFK would have never thought that they would be in the political position that they are in had the left not gone completely insane. After watching, actually, the Joe Biden CNN interview last night, particularly as it pertains to the Israel stuff, I saw a ton of people on Twitter, and I'm not talking about bots, I'm talking about real people with real names, suddenly saying, you know what? He has finally pushed me too far. I've hated Trump, but I'm actually going to vote for Trump. You've got former football players that you would not think traditionally, they're black, so how can they vote Republican, who are moving over. So all of this stuff, the more that the college campus crazies go nuts, what it does is it takes a frat dude who suddenly, all he wanted to do was play video games and take bong hits and go play basketball with his friends or whatever else. Oh, those were the good old days. Now he's suddenly out there with an American flag. So they are waking us up in droves. And we've just got to find more of us. We've got to build in new institutions. Let them have some of the failing institutions, right? It's a tactical war. I'm not interested in saving Columbia. Let Columbia burn. Let Harvard burn. Let UCLA burn. I don't mean that literally, but let them have those craptastic things. And we will send kids to new universities. We will build new things. We will be the ones that'll go and travel the stars, and they will be left with the destruction that they have brought. Danielle says, hey, Dave, I will be at the RNC convention as a delegate July 14th to 18th. Will you be there covering it? And if so, any chance for a Rubin Report meetup in Milwaukee? We had a vague discussion about it. I'm going to talk to the Rumble people, see if we can get a studio set up there. But yes, well, first off, that's awesome that you're a delegate. I love hearing that people are involved in everything else. Hopefully there's no shenanigans, you know, for all the stupid things you could say about the Republicans, they at least play by their own rules. It's the Democrats who often use all sorts of extra rules and super delegates to accomplish their goals. But that is in Milwaukee. And then of course the Democrat one, I will be off the grid because that's in August. The RNC one is, oh, wait a minute. Am I mistaken? They're both in July. So I am around for both. So the Democrat one, which is at the end of July, that will be the interesting one, because can they drag his old bones over the finish line? The base hates them, and it's in Chicago. So if you want a whole bunch of people to be shot and a city to burn down, they done gone did it right. Morgan says, I agree with your assertion this week that everyone needs to start a family to help things get better. What was most surprising about kids / parenting after you guys had the boys? Did the kids change everything, change anything on your perspective? Well, they changed everything on my perspective. I would say the biggest thing is that I think about it constantly now, that for all the stuff that I do here and I try to help however I can, and I've wanted the world to be a better place, and if I have any little influence on the margins to maybe help people wake up a little bit and all of that stuff, it's like, okay, well, I'm 47. Let's say I got another good 40-ish years on this planet, maybe with technology and everything else. Maybe it's 50 years, who knows, whatever it might be. But now I have a fucking important job, which is to make sure that these kids grow up in a world that was at least as good as mine. And then things start affecting every part of your life. I've been playing basketball with this great group of guys, really great group of guys on Sundays and Wednesdays. We play 3 hours. Pop, it's awesome. That's why I'm constantly aching and my back. I'm using CBD on my back right now. But a lot of these guys that I'm playing with, they're 30s, 40s, 50s, into their 60s. And there are guys now that are in their 50s that are bringing their 20-year-old kids. So now we're playing with 20-year-old sons who are off from college right now. And I'm chasing 20-year-olds, which isn't that fun. Although there's something, if you could block a shot of a 20-year-old at 47, it's pretty good. But anyway, it was making me think even last night as we were playing, I was like, man, well, now I have more of a job to stay in shape for the rest of my life, so that when my boys are 16, 17, that I'm still able to get out there and play with them. So it changed. I think it's a bit why I've been a little more focused on fitness and eating right and taking care of myself. It's changed ideologically. Like, we got to fight. Elizabeth says, I've noticed that people in general are getting nastier and ruder. Have you noticed this too? What do you think is causing it? And is there any way we can spread more general kindness? Well, I have to say, I suppose I notice it online, like Twitter mentions and all that stuff. People are just awful and nasty, and a lot of it's anonymous and a lot of it's trolls. And that's why years ago, I think I was the first one to ever in my Twitter profile for years was Twitter is not real life. Now it's become a sort of ubiquitous phrase that everyone uses. But the online thing, we know it's made us more anxious. It's broken our attention span. You know, you go to the supermarket and instead of looking at the girl right in front of you, the cashier, you're just staring at your phone the entire time. Like, all of those things, social media has made us more antisocial than social. I would say in my own life here, look, first, I'm very blessed because wherever I go, people are good to me and nice to me, right? Like, so that's something. I go to the store, people are nice to me. People have literally tried to buy my groceries here in Florida. But I'm also here in Florida where things are flourishing well and doing well. So like your waitresses or waiters at restaurants, they're friendlier. And then if you're friendlier to them, then it starts creating a good culture. So if you're in a place where culture is good, then people will be nicer. Like in New York City, which was never known for nice people, and there was actually something kind of cool about that because it was the city that never sleeps. It's just going and going and going. We're gonna jaywalk, we're gonna move, you're gonna bump into people, fuck this, blah, blah. There was something good about that in a weird way. But now it's like people are broken and they're drug addicted and they're worried about the future and there are terrorists running around the streets, literal terrorists. I mean, we could have showed you, there was a great video, or it's a horrible video, but a video of a bunch of the Hamas supporters in the subway in New York City screaming, they're chanting Muslim phrases and they're chanting river to the sea. And there's this old woman. Wait, did we show this video yesterday? I can't even remember, I tweeted it out. We showed it on People of the Internet yesterday. And there's this old woman and she's just like this. And it's like, we could use a little bit more of that, I suppose, too. All right, I got to move fast here. Oak says, stagflation is here. Do you think people will vote with their pocketbooks in November? I hope they vote on any of the issues that I just brought up. But if nothing else, vote on your pocketbook. If nothing else, vote for the people who will make sure that you have a little bit more money so that you can do a little bit more of what you want to do with your life. Stop voting for people that are like, oh, if we just had more money for us, if we could just take more money from those people and give it to those people, we could do more. No, no, it just does not work. Guess what? We have no income tax in Florida. We still got roads. We still got schools. We still got police. And in virtually every case, they're better than what they have in New York and California. Beb says, hey, Dave, you always talk about your garden, and I'm dying to get one going here in the Orlando area. I just planted a few fruit trees and want all the veggies now. Any tips or tricks on getting started for the horticulturally challenged? I had Brock run out to the garden and take some pictures. Do we have a couple of pictures? So we have a compilation of some of the things we're doing in the garden. We really made a beautiful, beautiful garden. That's court and steel there that rusts really nicely that we put in. It's about 15 feet by 40. It's really, really huge. And you can see we've got all sorts of bunch of different mints and lemon balm. And there are tomatoes up there, which are tricky to grow in Florida because of the humidity. And we've got a ton of bok choy, and we've got all sorts of lettuces. And some of those flowers that you're seeing, those aren't edible, but we've also been breeding, yes, as if we're not busy enough around here, we've been breeding monarch butterflies indoors. So we feed the monarch butterflies the milkweed, then eventually they climb up, you get a special box, they climb up to the top, they do the cocoon thing, and then you get butterflies, and we put the butterflies out there, and they're attracted to the flowers, and the kids love them, and Phoenix loves them. You love butterflies. The guy loves butterflies. Leela says, hello, Dave, I'm Brazilian, but currently living in Canada. I know why. Anyways, could you please show some light on the catastrophic thing that's happening in south of Brazil? International media is not covering it, and we will need all the help we can get. Thanks. I love watching the Rubin Report, and my 12-year-old son loves you and calls you the only sane voice. Oh, well, I really appreciate that. You know, I interviewed last week Paulo. I'm sorry, what's Paulo's last name?
Paulo Figueiredo.
Paulo Figueiredo. He is basically the Joe Rogan of Brazil, because I wanted to shed some light on what's going on in Brazil right now. We're also working on getting Bolsonaro. I always call him Bolsonaro. So we're working on a couple of things as it relates to Brazil. But you'll really enjoy the interview. It's coming out next week, and there's a huge problem there because Lula is now the president, and he is a communist, and many people feel that the election was rigged. It's a big freaking mess. All right, we got one more for you. Susan says, what's your favorite kind of coffee? Not brand, but light, medium, dark, French roast, Brazilian, etc. I like dark roast. I like dark coffee. The guys did switch me. I was doing a splash of oat or almond milk. They switched me back to the whole milk because the seed oil thing. I'm back on the whole milk. So I just do a splash of whole milk, dark coffee. That's it. And we're gonna do a post-game show super quick because I'm also on Newsmax in just a second. We gotta pre-tape a bunch of stuff because I'm going to Mexico for a couple days to take care of some tequila things, which I can't wait to share with you. We leave you with a quick cold close, and I'll see you on the other side.
I learned a lot. And I learned that it makes a difference. This was the diving board area, and I was one of the guards, and there was a 3-meter board. And you fell off sideways, you landed on the darn cement over there. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, to show how things have changed, one of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off. And he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. And he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke. There was a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools. He was the mechanic. And I said, what am I going to do? He said, come down here in the basement. Where all the pool filter is. You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up, he said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. I said, you kidding me? He said, no, if you don't come back. And he was right. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And I looked at them, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again, but I shouldn't have called you, Esther Williams. I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that, not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the postgame wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.